Today is the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The epistle for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart is taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 24. As the vine, I have brought forth a pleasant odor, and my flowers are the fruit of honor and riches. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way of the truth. In me is all hope of life and of virtue. Come over to me, all ye that desire me, and be filled with my fruits, for my spirit is sweet above honey, and my inheritance above honey, and the honeycomb. My memory is unto everlasting generations. They that eat me shall yet hunger, and they that drink me shall yet thirst. He that hearkeneth to me shall not be confounded, and they that work by me shall not sin. They that explain me shall have life everlasting. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19. At that time, there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore had seen his mother and the disciples standing whom he loved, he saith to his mother, Woman, behold thy son. After that he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her to his own. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. I am the mother of fair love, and of fear, and of knowledge, and of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and virtue. These words are taken from the epistle for the Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, on July 28, 1914, the World War I began. A few days later, on August 3rd, Germany declared war on France. And then a few months after that, in September of that year, the German army began making its way towards Paris. They were advancing so quickly and so effortlessly down the valley of the Marne River in southeastern France that they were convinced that they would take Paris and that the war would end very soon. Paris itself was in total chaos. The French government had already left the capital, and the panicking civilians were fleeing the city on foot, on horseback, by train, and by any means possible, just to get out of Paris. And even though the British had sent reinforcements to help their French allies, still the Germans far outnumbered them. The situation was so desperate, in fact, that the military governor of the French army summoned 6,000 reserve troops to the front. His plan was to try to halt the German army along the Marne River. On that same day in Paris, the Bishop of Meaux, Cardinal Marbeau, made a promise to Our Lady. He promised her that if she would spare their city, he would build a monument in her honor and dedicate the city to her. Furthermore, all across France, people were on their knees praying the rosary, humbly beseeching the Blessed Virgin Mary to protect them and deliver them from the Germans. At length, the 8th of September dawned. The 8th of September, as you may recall, is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The mighty German army advanced towards the outnumbered French soldiers, and what history calls the Battle of the Marne began. But in the midst of the fighting, something inexplicable happened. The entire German army suddenly turned around and began to retreat. Without rhyme or reason, every German soldier suddenly turned back from the battle. There was no explanation for it. They abruptly turned back and retreated. News of this, the so-called miracle of the Marne, spread throughout France in the upcoming months. But nobody knew how it had happened. 4 months later, in January 1915, two German officers were admitted into a French hospital run by the Red Cross. They were wounded from battle, but were as well prisoners of war. While they were there recovering from their injuries in the hospital, one of them noticed a small statue of Our Lady of Lourdes, and seeing it, the soldier was startled. He then looked to his companion and he exclaimed in German, "Look, there she is, the Virgin of the Marne." The nurse asked him what he meant, but both soldiers refused to speak. A German priest later described what took place that September 8, 1914. His words are contained in a letter dated January 3rd of the following year. The priest was a chaplain in the German army, and he had been wounded in battle, but he saw firsthand what happened at the Marne. While he was in the care of some French nuns, he described to them what was seen by an estimated 100,000 German soldiers during the battle. As a soldier, he said, "I should keep silent. But as a priest, I must say what I have seen. During the Battle of the Marne, we were surprised to be pushed into retreat, because our numbers were legion compared to the French, and we expected very soon to arrive in Paris. But to our astonishment and confusion, we saw the Virgin Mary dressed all in white, with a blue belt leaning her head toward Paris. She turned her back to us, and with her right hand, she seemed to push us away. I saw her myself and a good number of my companions also." Another soldier described the event this way. "A virgin stood in front of us," he said, "with her arms outstretched, pushing us back each time we had the order to advance. This continued for several days," he said, "and we did not know if she was one of your French saints, Genevieve or Joan of Arc. Later, we understood that it was the Virgin Mary who stopped us from moving forward. She pushed us back with such force," he concluded, "that all of us as one man turned and fled. What I am telling you, you will undoubtedly hear again," he said, "for we were perhaps 100,000 men who saw her." In 1924, Cardinal Marbot made good on his promise to have a monument built in Our Lady's honor. He erected a beautiful statue of the Mother of God, and beneath the statue, he inscribed these words, "You will go no further." 3 years later, my dear friends, in 1917, the Blessed Virgin Mary again appeared. She came when another enemy was rising up to threaten her children. The place of the apparition, of course, was Fatima, Portugal. The enemy was atheistic communism. In the 1800s, a man named Karl Marx, a profoundly evil man, began laying down his ideas and principles to establish a communist state. Basically, this was his plan to destroy belief in God and religion and to tear down society to complete and total ruin. And 34 years after his death in 1917, Marx's plan came to fruition in Russia. It was carried out by two men who were imbued with Marxism, Vladimir Lenin and Leon Trotsky. And faithful to the principles of Marx, Lenin and Trotsky lied to the Russian people, they cheated them, and they made many false promises as they strove to establish a godless communist state in Russia. They convinced their hearers, one historian writes, that Russia was advancing towards a new kind of society that would bring health, shelter, education, and material well-being to all members of society. And then, when the time was right, they rose up in revolution. But while all this was going on in Russia, Our Lady came to Fatima to give the world the means of turning back these enemies of God, these enemies of civilization. She came to give the means to defeat the enemies of our souls. And that means was a devotion to her Immaculate Heart. To save souls, Our Lady said to Lucia, my divine Son wants to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. I promise salvation to those who embrace it. She then added these words, words which were certainly intended for us as well. I will never leave you, Our Lady said. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way that will lead you to God. I will never leave you. Today, my dear friends, the spirit of Karl Marx, which is the spirit of the Satan himself, lives on. His disciples in the world and in our country are carefully following the Marxist blueprint to destroy belief in God and morality and to tear down society to ruins. But their days are numbered, and there's only so much they will be able to do. For as Our Lady would not permit the Germans to advance past a certain point before she turned them away, so too she will only allow her enemies in this world today to go so far. The day will come when she will say to them, you will go no further. The day will come when she will bring low the wicked men in high places and put them to flight. And the day will come when she will crush Satan's proud head for all eternity. What confidence we must have then in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What confidence we must have. And how we must entrust our families and our country to her maternal care and motherly protection. I am the mother of holy hope, she says to us in the epistle today. I am the mother of holy hope. In me is all grace of the way and of the truth. In me is all hope of life and virtue. Our Lady is indeed our life, our sweetness, and our hope. And her Immaculate Heart is our greatest hope. Let us then, my dear friends, take up the standard of the Immaculate Heart in the fight for the faith and the battle for our souls. And let us do this by answering the urgent appeal she made at Fatima. Her appeal very simply was this: stop offending my Son. Stop hurting my Son by mortal sin. stop breaking his sacred heart and pray the rosary every day. That was her urgent appeal. That was her request. Stop offending my son. Pray the rosary every day. And if we do this, my dear friends, if we answer her appeal, we will hasten the coming triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And Our Lady will intervene for us as she intervened at the Battle of the Marne. For Our Lady has promised us victory. She never promised that the road to victory would be easy. She didn't promise that it would come overnight. She promised that in the end, when all was said and done, when all the battles have been fought by her and her devoted children, in the end, her Immaculate Heart will triumph. And triumph it will. Let us always remember that. In the face of all the difficulties, the uncertainty today, let us always remember that. Ever mindful as well of this consoling promise of our Blessed Mother, I will never leave you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge. It is the way that will lead you to God. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.